It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Voters in Illinois go to the polls Tuesday in the nation's latest presidential primary. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. On the Democratic side, Georgia's Jimmy Carter is regarded as the favorite over George Wallace, Sergeant Shriver, and Fred Harris. President Ford expects a victory on the Republican side over Ronald Reagan. The Illinois primary is regarded as a political beauty contest because the results are not binding on convention delegates. Secretary of State Kissinger again came under attack Monday from some presidential candidates. Campaigning in Chicago, Jimmy Carter said Kissinger does not trust the judgment of the American people. Sergeant Shriver also took off on Kissinger, making this criticism of the secretary.
He is blind, I believe, to the true revolution of our time, which is that the world is becoming more and more interdependent, not just between nations, but between the economies of countries and between people. A new world is really struggling now to be born. And it's going to come into being despite the efforts of anybody who wants merely to protect the status quo.
Shriver spoke at Loyola University in Chicago. More news in a moment. President Ford was a clear winner over Ronald Reagan in the Florida Republican primary, and Democrat Jimmy Carter pulled ahead of Governor George Wallace. But there's still quite a way to go to the conventions. I'm Richard C. Hottle at CBS News. The next stop in our primary coverage will be Illinois, where both Republican and Democratic hopefuls will be facing the important big city and industrial vote. Listen for CBS News coverage of the Illinois primary this Tuesday, March 16th, on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, world. Johnny Brackett here, along with my favorite cuisinier, Mike Roy, for the Cook Thing, heard Monday through Saturday here on CBS. I see old cuisinier. We're going to toss a few salad greens tomorrow.
Where'd you get that word?
I just made it up. How do you like
cuisinier,
that?
Cuisinier, that's beautiful. It's what's on top that counts, especially if you're counting calories.
Mm-hmm.
Going to make a tasty Slimmer's lemon French dressing that'll dress up your salad. Help you keep your dress size down, too.
Like the Van Gogh, maybe, of cookery. Cuisinier, is that what happened? Is that what made you great?
I hear so.
Just keep it out of the salad greens tomorrow on the Cook Thing here on CBS.
New fears of war in southern Africa were expressed last week when Mozambique cut some of Rhodesia's routes to the outside world. There have also been reports that guerrillas from Mozambique have been infiltrating into Rhodesia as the start of a terrorist campaign against the white minority government. In a rare interview with CBS News in Salisbury, Rhodesian Prime Minister Ian Smith expresses concern about a major war in that part of the world.
We, of course, hope that this will not take place, because if we get to this stage, I think it will mean that the free world have failed once again, as they did in Angola. And I think this will be the beginning, not only for us, but for the whole of southern Africa. And I'm sure I don't have to tell you what a tragedy this would be for the free world. It would make a tremendous difference in the balance of power between the free world and the communist world.
Smith also said Britain and the United States are partly to blame for the situation, for going along with economic sanctions imposed against Rhodesia. There are hints that Lebanese President Frangieh may resign under certain conditions, paving the way for a settlement of the latest crisis in Lebanon. On Monday, two armored columns headed toward his heavily guarded mansion, but Syrian-backed guerrillas blocked some of the columns, and there's increasing speculation something is being worked out for the resignation of the Christian president. Also on Monday, Muslim and Christian gunmen battled each other in the streets of Beirut. Police said 41 people were killed. The prosecution put another psychiatrist on the stand Monday at the bank robbery trial of Patricia Hearst in San Francisco. Dr. Harry Kozol of Boston, who examined Miss Hearst during January, described her as a bored, rebellious girl searching for an outlet for her frustrations. Dr. Kozol said the cause found her, referring to her captors, the Symbionese Liberation Army. The Soviet Union has quickly denounced Egypt's decision to end the 1971 Treaty of Friendship and Cooperation between the two countries. The Soviet news agency TASS described the action as unfriendly. Now this.
Okay, I made a mistake. My first mistake. But they say guys like me coming out of jail usually wind up coming right back.
I like sitting in the park, but not every day. I want to do something useful. People around here, though, they think you're over 65. You're useless.
The man crossed and shoot. Who are you kidding, girl? You're nowhere unless you can read.
Tough problems call for real solutions, not just talk. If your community has a problem, you need action. Action is skilled volunteers of all ages working together to help solve tough community problems. Write Action, Department Q, Washington, D.C., 20525. Between us, there's got to be a solution.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
A writer who attended a CIA briefing says senior agency officials believe Israel has about 10 or 20 nuclear weapons ready and available for use. The writer, Arthur Krenish of Science Trends, also reports that CIA experts feel the Russian space program is a shambles and that the Soviets have abandoned plans for a manned landing on the moon. CIA officials would not comment on the report, saying only that the briefing was not meant to be aired in public. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In 97 News this evening, after failing to eliminate the testimony of one of its own witnesses, the defense rested this morning in the Robert Wampler murder trial in Salem. Defense rested without calling Wampler to the stand. Defense attorney Robert Stoll asked the court to eliminate last Friday's testimony by Robert Sauer, who described Wampler as being crazy like a fox. Judge Robert Barber denied the motion. One of those killer whales trapped in Bud Inlet at Tacoma has been removed from its pen and taken to SeaWorld's Seattle Aquarium. They were hoping to remove two others this afternoon. During the weekend, three others escaped from the nets but remain in the area near the captured comrades. At Snohomish, Washington, 21 residents have signed a petition to stop Dave Beck Jr. from removing gravel from the Snohomish River. Beck, son of the former Teamster Union chief, has been removing gravel from the riverbed since 1950. Residents complain of the noise, which Ty says goes on from early morning until late at night, and fishermen are complaining that it has a negative impact on those steelhead runs up there. There's sharply conflicting views between Senator Bob Packwood and an Oregon environmental group over the question of clear-cutting trees in the government's national forests. Oregon Environmental Council and other groups are urging Congress to approve a forestry reform bill that would put rigid controls on clear-cutting. But the Oregon senator says controlled clear-cutting is needed to manage forests efficiently and to avoid sharp increases in the cost of lumber for housing. Well, check your pennies here. If you're in the market for a slightly damaged jet fighter, the city of Roseburg is trying to sell one, and they're doing it cheap, too. The F-86F fighter is on display in a city park. It's slowly being dismantled by vandals, although the plane stands 10 feet off the ground on a pedestal. Some of those children with their usual inventiveness, for lack of any other word, have found that an upside-down garbage can makes a great first step. Governor's made a major realignment of his 15-month-old administration, appointing Cornelius Bateson to head the Department of Commerce. Weather forecast, cloudy Tuesday with rain likely tomorrow night or Wednesday. Lows 45 to 50, highs 55 to 60. I'm Tom Morgan. Stay in touch with 97 News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, celebrant of these somewhat ominous ceremonies. We are told when there is no law, there is no transgression. But the fact is, there is never the complete absence of law. Even where you have nothing, you still have law. A vacuum is absolutely nothing, isn't it? And yet... isn't it subject to a host of scientific laws, rules, standards? The point to all this? There are so many regulations, known and unknown, that govern our lives, that everybody has to be doing something wrong. Sometime. Somehow. Somewhere. The question is, of what are you guilty?
I can't help you if you don't tell me the truth.
I am telling the truth, Doctor.
Now tell me what is really bothering you.
I don't know what's bothering me.
Why do you feel frightened?
I don't know. I'm afraid of something.
What?
I don't know, Doctor. You have to help me.
I can't. Because you lie to me. You say you are a stockbroker?
That's the truth.
Then why do you carry a gun? You have a small automatic in a special leg holster below your knee. Mr. Carpenter, Are you now ready to tell the facts that you lied about, glossed over, or left out the first time?
Our mystery drama, The Aliens, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Paul Hecht.
It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the Sinus Medicines, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You know, I just thought of something.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, over 250,000 people have already bought 1976 Buicks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, if you got all those people together, they'd probably disagree on nearly everything. Religion, politics, sports. I mean, people disagree on all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet all those people, over 250,000 of them, agree on Buicks. I think that's really socially significant, don't you?
No.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Budweiser presents Beer Talk. A lot of folks like their beer right out of the can or bottle, and that's okay. But when you can, try your beer in a sparkling, clean glass, especially if it's Budweiser, because Bud simply tastes best when it can kick up a big, creamy head of foam. But bottle, can, or glass, as long as it's Budweiser, you've got the king of beers.
You've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch Headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. Throughout time, God has spoken to man in dreams. Jehovah said in the Old Testament, "Listen to my words. If a man be a prophet, I make myself known to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams." So, pay attention to your own dreams. They might well reveal flashes of the future, predictions and warnings of things to come. They may give you a glimpse of God's guidance to lead you back to the peace and security of His way. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Arrogant, reckless, strides this earth as if he owns it, despoiling, destroying, abusing, and wasting nature's bounty for his convenience and pleasure. But does man actually own this earth? Man, with his intelligence, had made himself the swiftest and strongest of all the living things on this planet. But it is written, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. It is 7:30 in the morning. John Carpenter, Jr. is having breakfast.
What was that?
Oh, will you look what I did? I dropped the big platter.
Well, you should be more careful.
Well, it would have to be the one Aunt Maud gave.
Why can't you pay attention to what you're doing?
All right. What is this? For the past week, you've been snarling at me like some neurotic Wolverine.
Well, I'm...
You're what?
Nothing. I'm all right.
This particular plate. You never liked it. For that matter, you're not unusually fond of Aunt Maud either. So what's all the fussing about?
Is there any more coffee?
Not for you.
You mean no more coffee for me?
I'll tell you why. Just listen to yourself.
What's wrong with me?
You're very nervous.
Me? Nervous?
You're irritable, agitated, restless.
Now that's nonsense.
Something's simmering inside you. Anything seems to trigger an explosion. All I did was drop a dish and you'd think a bomb had gone off.
Look, I'm going to miss my train.
Three no-trons.
Well, what is that supposed to mean, Louise?
That's the shutout bid. And that's your way of saying the discussion is over.
Look, Louise, it's 7:30.
And you have half an hour to get to the station, and it only takes 7 minutes.
I like to get there early.
Yes. That's what you like. What you don't like is to discuss a matter of the utmost importance. Your health, John. You're not well.
There is nothing wrong with me. Ask Dr. Marks. I saw him less than 2 weeks ago.
Then why are you losing weight? And why don't you sleep nights?
No, now I am going to be late.
John, can't you tell me what's wrong?
I don't know.
Then you admit
nothing
that...
is wrong, Louise. Nothing.
Can you be home early tonight? We're having the Swansons for dinner and bridge.
Oh, for crying out loud.
It's Jim and Marge, and you love them both.
All right, all right.
John, see a doctor.
I have already seen Dr. Marks. Now, how many times do...
Why don't you see someone about your nerves?
You mean a psychiatrist?
Yes. You have a problem.
Well, in the first place, I do not have a problem. In the second place, there's nothing wrong with me. And in the third place, I will not see a psychiatrist. I want to thank you, Dr. Byrne, for seeing me without an appointment.
You said it was an emergency, Mr.
Mr. Smith. John Smith.
Your age?
37.
Married?
Yeah.
Children?
None. Well, we had a little boy, but he died in an accident. Look, I don't know what's the matter with me, Doctor. I'm edgy, fidgety. I blow up at trifles.
There may be some systemic disorder.
No, I had a complete checkup. Less than 2 weeks ago, the doctor found nothing.
You told him about these symptoms?
Yeah. He told me I was in excellent shape physically, but maybe I was working too hard.
Are you?
Well, no more than usual.
What do you do for a living, Mr. Smith?
Oh, I'm a stockbroker.
Why did you pause when you answered? Are you telling me the truth?
What do you mean?
That doesn't answer my question.
Of course I'm telling you the truth.
Do you dislike your profession?
Certainly not. What kind of a question is that?
It's the kind of question you're paying me to ask.
Yeah, I'm... Sorry. Well, that was stupid of me. But you see now how I react to people.
Are you under any unusual pressures?
No.
What are you concealing from me, Mr. Smith?
What makes you think I'm concealing anything?
Try to describe the way you feel.
I've already told you. Nervous.
And you can't account for it. No problems at your office?
No, none.
At home?
No.
If I were to ask your wife, what would she tell me?
She'd say I've suddenly become excitable, apprehensive.
Two words there I would like to discuss. First, suddenly. This is something new?
Yeah. Yeah, I've always been calm. I've had excellent self-control. I need that in my business.
Oh, really? I know some highly excitable stockbrokers. Well, the second interesting word you used is apprehensive. Why are you apprehensive?
Did I say apprehensive? Well, it's all part of being nervous and excitable, isn't it?
No, not quite. Apprehensive suggests a feeling of foreboding, fear. Are you afraid of anything, Mr. Smith?
Well, to tell you the truth, I am afraid of something.
What?
I don't know. You see, you keep asking these questions, and I have to keep answering, I don't know, because the truth is, I don't know.
It's quite possible to be nervous without knowing why, but afraid? No. You must be afraid of someone.
No, no one.
Something.
Well, you see, that's what has me licked, Doctor. It's something unknown, something I can't name or describe. Can you help me?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I know you're not telling me the whole truth.
Doctor, I don't know what's bothering
you. The whole truth about yourself.
Huh. What's to tell? I'm a broker. I'm with Valentine and Sterling.
For example, why do you carry a gun?
A gun?
You have a small automatic in a special holster below your knee.
Why? Because
you are nervous and upset, you are being careless. That is why I was able to catch a glimpse of it, Mr. Smith. I would assume that a man who carries a gun in a leg holster is quite familiar with and adept in the use of firearms. Well, shall we begin again? Are you ready to tell me the truth this time?
The truth?
Tell me some facts about yourself that you left out, glossed over, or lied about the first time. Now, what is your name? What do you do for a living? And what do you think your problem is?
Doctor, I am not free to tell you.
Then, how can you expect me to treat you intelligently?
I may have told you too much already. I'm sorry. I'd better go. Your battery's dead. Yeah, I guess so. It was just perfect this morning.
May I be of assistance?
Oh, could you help me jump start it?
Sorry, I don't have those wires.
Oh, that's okay. I got them.
I see you're a man who prepares for emergencies.
Well, you never can tell what... Now, what could have happened to my...
Something wrong?
What could have happened to the cables? I always keep them in the trunk. I know they were here.
Well, may I give you a lift?
Oh, no. It's all right. Thanks. I can take a cab.
The cab stand seems to be empty.
Oh, thanks. I'll call my wife, have her come down here to the station to pick me... Oh, no. Can't do that. Her car's in for service.
Well, my offer is still good.
Are you sure it's not an inconvenience?
Not at all. Get into my car.
Oh, you just saved my life. This is one night I can't afford to be late. My wife's best friends are coming to dinner.
I understand.
Oh, I live at 19 Cleveland Drive. I hope that isn't out of your way.
Oh, no.
I don't think I've seen you before. You live around here?
Just visiting.
Ah. My name is Carpenter. John Carpenter, Jr., to give it the full handle.
How do you do? I'm Ivan Ivanovich Plutnik.
Oh, you're not an American.
I also have another name. Cessna.
Cessna?
I'm sure you've heard of it. In English, it means pine tree.
Pine tree?
Yes, pine tree. It's my code name. And it happens to be your code name, too.
What do you know about pine tree?
Here we are on opposite sides. Yet each of us finds himself on a similar project. Pine tree. Why are you reaching for your gun? If I wanted to kill, you'd be dead by now.
All right. All right, what do you want?
I don't know.
You're a foreign agent?
So are you. Both of us are secret agents.
But what's your purpose in revealing yourself?
As far as revealing myself is concerned, your people know who I am. Just as my people know who you are. You have your cover as a stockbroker, I have my cover as a journalist. No one is taken in. Both sides allow it to continue. Why? Because we're not important, you and I. We're only small fish. But small fish are also necessary. They're part of the food chain.
No, never mind all that. Why have you personally approached me?
No matter how many times you will ask me that question, I will have to give you the same answer. I don't know yet.
You want a defect?
Defect? Whatever for.
And... Is it your purpose to get me to defect?
I keep telling you I don't know my purpose. That's why I arranged for us to meet.
You must have drained my battery.
Yes.
Why?
I wanted us to talk. There's no one on my side I can talk to.
Well, I wouldn't know about that.
There's no one on your side you can talk to either.
That's not true.
Why did you go to a psychiatrist?
How do you know I went to a psychiatrist?
Why?
You know so much, you tell me.
You went because you're upset, nervous, and agitated.
Well, that's no great feat of deduction. Obviously, I am on edge.
And so am I. I hide it better. But for the past 2 weeks, I can't sleep. I'm just like you. I thought perhaps we could compare notes, help each other.
Help each other? Why? We're enemies.
I'm not your enemy right now.
Come on. What do you think it's all about? It's your people against my people.
I said right now. Right now. It's you and me.
We are still enemies.
Yes, but we have the same problem. We don't even know what the problem is. I need your help.
You need my help?
Yes, and you need mine. I think Cessna is just a little bit ahead of Pine Tree. So I just happen to be a little more frightened.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the project that frightens both of us. Now, why? You can trust me.
How do I know that?
I'm trusting you.
It's something terrifying, as if the whole world is about to be destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same thing.
Something that has nothing to do with my country, or your country, or any country. So I said to myself, why waste time fighting each other when we're faced with something that can destroy us both?
Something that threatens to destroy us all. Now I know it. That's what I feel. That's what's being communicated to me. But what is it? Why?
What is it? And why? You know by now, we have an orderly procedure. In the first act, we ask the question. It's only in the second act that you can hope for some of the answers. And yet, you already have a clue, an extremely powerful clue, that will enable you to answer the most important question of all. And what is that clue? It has been stated forcefully and plainly. You think back on it until I return shortly with Act Two.
Allstate asks, do you own a small business? Go over these questions with your present group health and life insurance agent. If your agent doesn't say yes to every one, then
talk to the good hands people.
First question, does your present major medical benefit keep on paying no matter how expensive the accident or illness becomes? If not,
talk to the good hands people.
Is your present plan designed to pay up to 95% of hospital expenses? If not,
talk to the good hands people. You're in good hands with Allstate.
See your Allstate agent to find out what an Allstate plan costs, what is and isn't covered, including benefit reductions and terms under which insurance continues in force. Allstate Insurance Companies, available in most states to businesses that qualify.
Hello, I'm Dolly Parton. Have you ever watched a weaver at his trade? Shuttles weaving faster and faster on the loom, creating a design where none has been before. And come to think of it, life's pattern is woven in just the same way. Born of many different threads, meeting, merging, spinning out the small fabric of our existence, the March of Dimes is trying to create a better fabric of life, free from the tragedy of birth defects, a life which ensures every newborn the right to the most precious heritage of all, good health at birth. Medical service programs, scientific research, public education, all are part of the March of Dimes fight against this number one health problem for our nation's children. But a weaver, any weaver, needs help along the way. And birth defects are forever, unless you help. Help weave a tomorrow full of bright promise for our next generation. A tomorrow without handicaps at birth. Please, give to the March of Dimes. Thank you.
Life for all of us is subject to certain rules and regulations. Whatever we do is performed according to the guidelines set by society. And yet, now and then, a man decides to break the mold. A Caesar crosses the Rubicon. A Nelson holds a telescope to a blind eye and says, I do not see the signal. A Gauguin leaves a life of the utmost Parisian respectability to become a beachcomber painter in the South Seas. And tonight, John Carpenter Jr. and Ivan Ivanovich Plotnik have also crossed the line.
When did the fear start for you?
The day I was assigned to the project.
The same with me.
Psychic communication. I didn't even know why I was put on it.
I didn't either. My whole experience is in journalism.
I always wanted to be a journalist, a reporter, a writer.
What happened?
I went to college on a football scholarship. You know what that is?
I think so.
Yeah, I was so busy playing football, I had very little time to read. But I made All-America. You know what that is?
I'm not sure.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Anyhow, this brokerage firm offered me a job, and after a while I discovered the whole firm was a cover for a secret agency. Well, I stayed with it.
You like it?
Yeah, sure. It's interesting. What has your outfit discovered?
Well, everybody knows there's psychic communication among animals. Now we've discovered it exists among plant life.
Yeah, that's where we are.
We're getting indications that even so-called non-living matter has a psychic system of communication.
Well, maybe there's no such thing as non-living matter. Maybe all matter has some form of life.
That's what's being told to me.
How is it being told to you?
How? Well, not in words.
In thoughts?
Not exactly. More by feelings.
Feelings, yeah, that's right, that's right. Instead of understanding something, I just feel it.
It's as if it hasn't been told to your brain, but absorbed by your nerves.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly how it is. And I have received this feeling that the world is about to be taken over by a force.
An alien force.
Aliens.
Yes, aliens.
Who are they?
I don't know.
But you do feel they're going to destroy us all.
Yes, and that's why I'm frightened. And you feel the same way. Did you try to tell anyone on Pine Tree?
I started to, and I could see from the looks I was getting, no one had the vaguest idea of what I was talking about.
When I started to talk about it, I also got looks. So I dropped it.
Pine Tree and Cessna. Why are you and I the only ones who feel this fear?
Maybe we're the only ones who are psychically susceptible.
Yeah, I'm really the most down-to-earth, practical guy I know.
So am I.
Geez, I often wondered. How do you fellows handle your wives, huh?
Mine thinks I'm a journalist. Yours?
She thinks I'm a stockbroker.
The aliens, if that's what they are, could they be from another world?
Yeah, I don't know, I don't know. That's all I keep saying these days. I don't know, I don't know. Yvonne, what are we going to do?
Well, you and I, we've taken the first step.
John, wake up.
Cut it out.
John.
What? Louise. What's wrong?
You're having a nightmare.
Nightmare? No, that's impossible.
I'm telling you.
It can't be. I was sleeping very, very quietly.
No. You were howling and shouting.
If I were having a nightmare, I would know about it, wouldn't I?
I'm telling you.
I was howling and shouting. What was I saying?
I don't know. It was a kind of funny shouting.
Funny?
As if there was a pattern to it.
What does that mean?
As if you were talking in some kind of new language.
Oh, Louise, I'm...
Oh, John, what's wrong?
I can't tell you.
That means that there is something wrong.
Darling, please don't ask me questions.
John, I have the right to know.
Yes, you do have the right, but please, just now, don't insist on it. The best way, the only way you can help me is to let me alone. Are you busy, Mr. Brady?
Oh, come in, John. Sit down.
I haven't slept in the last two nights.
Anything wrong?
Yes. I've wrestled with this, but I don't know any other way to handle it. I've been exchanging information with an agent from the other side.
John...
You're going to ask me how, when, why, and... Well, it's not that simple. Okay, to begin with, they also have a top-secret psychic communication project.
Well, that's to be expected.
It's called Cessna.
Cessna?
Yeah, it's their word for pine tree. Can you imagine that? Or is it a coincidence?
Continue.
There's something about this project that we're on that terrifies me.
Why?
I have a feeling that... It's a feeling of approaching disaster. I know that sounds melodramatic, but I feel it. The agent from the other side, he approached me because he feels it, too.
The agent's name?
Ivan Ivanovich Plotnik.
And?
Well, that's it.
Well, what'd you tell him?
He told me as much as I told him, and, well, we're both at about the same stage on the project.
He approached you because he feels this fear?
This terror.
You believe him?
Yes, I do, because I know he can't talk to any of his own people any more than I can talk to any of my own people.
Now, wait a minute. You can talk to me, John.
Well, not really, Mr. Brady. You don't seem to understand what I'm saying.
I do. I understand you're afraid.
But you don't feel it. You don't feel frightened by some terrible alien thing that will soon destroy the world.
Alien? Alien in the sense of foreign?
An alien force.
Out of this planet?
I think so.
John.
Yeah, I know. You're going to tell me I'm working too hard, that I need a rest.
This agent, his cover?
Journalist.
Whom else have you spoken about your fears?
Well, my wife.
What have you said to her?
Nothing. She keeps telling me I have to do something, see a doctor.
And have you?
Oh, yes, yes.
What's his name?
I didn't tell him anything.
Even so?
His name is Byrne.
About the agent. Keep seeing him and report the results of each visit.
Yes, sir.
String along with him, but be careful. As you know by now, this is a dangerous business, and everyone engaged in it is dangerous.
I trust him.
Why?
Again, you'll think I'm crazy. Because I don't get any feelings of fear or mistrust when he's around.
Well, that's hardly a
reason. Sir, we are engaged on a project that is investigating the nature and possible uses of psychic communication. And so some of us may be more prone to psychic disturbances.
Would you like me to take you off the project?
You can't.
Why can't I?
Because only people like me belong on that project. Susceptible people like me.
All right, John. But be careful. Very careful.
Ivan!
Over here.
I came as soon as I received your message.
My message? Do you realize what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, you sent a message. Not through a wire, not through an airwave, not on a paper.
My brain to yours.
How did you send it?
How did you receive it?
I don't know. It just happened.
This thing, this force, it's entering into us.
What we have just done, you and I, this is a revolution. But how do we explain it?
I don't know.
I think there's a kind of central communication system, and that anyone who knows how can hook into it.
I feel that. I also feel pain.
Yeah.
Something hurts. Do you feel it?
Wait. Yeah, yes, I do.
I feel as if I'm on fire.
Ivan.
Listen. What's that?
Something's trying to reach me. It's saying something.
The pain.
Is it saying something to you, too?
I don't know. The pain.
Try to understand.
I know only one thing, an alien force invading the Earth.
Try to understand.
We must fight it. Your people, my people, we must fight it together.
I feel something else.
We must go back together.
Report
back together. Tell them, warn them, the aliens.
Yes. Yes, the aliens. Ivan, something about the aliens.
We must fight
them. Ivan, it is reaching me. An alien force is destroying the Earth.
Is it too late?
It is not too late. An attack. No, a counterattack is being ready.
Counterattack?
Against the alien.
Then our superiors do know. I feel the understanding now. We are preparing an attack against the aliens.
I don't understand. Who is preparing the counterattack? Who?
We are. Government. My government. Evidently, in secret, they've been working together, and they have prepared.
Listen, with all your nerves. That is not what's happening. The message we're getting is not coming from human beings. Try to understand.
Then who is sending the message?
It is saying the aliens must be destroyed if we are to save the world. I think I understand.
What?
I know who the aliens are, Ivan. I know.
Who? Tell me.
Don't you hear?
Yes. But it isn't true.
Yes, it is. It is. We are the aliens. We, the human race, are the aliens.
The aliens. We, the human race. That's quite a discovery for an intelligence operative. Although, to tell the truth, such a thing has been suspected by many people for many years. But why has it become so apparent to John Carpenter and Ivan Plotnick? As I told you, the basic clue was handed to you back in the middle of Act One, and it has even been repeated. Well, I suppose many of you will just have to wait for Act 3.
If you went into a Buick dealer's between now and April 30th, do you know what would happen? Well, if you ordered one of four cars with a list of specially selected options, you'd get a vinyl top at no extra charge. Like that Skylark over in the corner? Order one with sport mirrors, a rally tilt steering wheel, body side stripes, and vinyl buckets, and Buick pops for the top. To find out about other cars, talk to your Buick dealer. He knows
all that stuff. Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
You know, there's more than 100 words on that Budweiser label. Words like rice. Yep, Budweiser is brewed with rice, and very few beers in America are. Rice can cost a little more than the corn or syrup other beers use, but the sparkling brilliance it gives Budweiser sure is worth it. Rice. Just one more reason why.
You've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is a message to some very special people. They're special people because even though they may feel fine, they're dying. They're people who have high blood pressure and aren't treating it seriously. If you are one of these people, take a few seconds to listen to some statistics. They may help you add years to your life. Insurance companies have found the higher your blood pressure is, the more years you can subtract from your life. For example, if your blood pressure is 140 over 95, subtract 9 years from your life. And if it's 150 over 100, you could die 16 years too early. Here are a few more numbers to think about. If you don't treat your high blood pressure, chances are 3 times greater that you'll have a stroke, and almost 5 times greater that you'll suffer from congestive heart failure. But you can lead a longer and healthier life if you treat your high blood pressure seriously. See your doctor. Get back on your treatment. Treat your high blood pressure and live. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Nothing human is alien to me, said the Roman poet Terence. However, here we seem to have a situation where everything human seems alien to something else. John Carpenter, Jr., a secret agent, seems to have blundered into the most dangerous secret in the world. And the problem is, what can he do about it?
We are the aliens?
We are going to be destroyed.
Why? By whom?
Communicate with it, Ivan. Try to understand it.
But there is so much pain.
Yes, because it's new for us to think like this. It's not the way human beings think, by making pictures in the brain. This is communicating through changes of the body. You understand pain because you feel pain.
Who is talking to us?
Oh, this isn't talking. It's transferring ideas. We are going to be destroyed unless...
Unless what?
Listen, Ivan. Help me try to understand.
Unless we become part of... the Earth.
Yes.
The Earth. But we are part of the Earth.
We are not part of the Earth. We are not part of the chain. We will be destroyed.
That's the message you've been getting. We will be destroyed.
Yes, sir. Now, here's what I suggest. We should meet with the members of their project, compare notes, and try to find a way to save ourselves.
Now, John...
Please try to understand. The whole human race can be wiped out.
John,
I know
you're...
this is unorthodox, and there might even be hell to pay upstairs, but it's an emergency.
Now, John,
there
stop.
Is no time.
All right. We'll do it this way. Bring in Ivan Ivanovich Plotnik.
Yes, sir.
Well, go ahead, call him.
I have already notified him.
What?
Oh, yes. You see...
This is all part of it.
Part of what?
Part of our psychic communication. This is what our project was set up to discover. Plotnik and I already know how to use it. Now, the trouble is, in using it, we also learned other things. You see, because to use it, you sort of hook into a universal communication system and you hear what other things are thinking.
Things?
Yes. Yes, things. What we call inanimate objects. Stones. Forces.
Forces?
Gravity. Electricity. Winds. Clouds. Everything that's part of the Earth.
I see.
No. No, you don't. You're treating me like a newcomer. Look, I've been in the service for 15 years. I know that technique. Lead the poor fish on.
Now, John, wait a minute. I want to help you.
What help is there you can give me? The whole human race faces a holocaust.
Why don't you bring Plotnik here and we can discuss it?
No. Because I see what's on your mind. Bring Ivan Plotnik here so you can arrest him.
Oh, that's not why I want you to bring him here.
Don't resort to lies, Mr. Brady. I won't do it. Even now, I'm warning him. Stay away, Ivan. Hide. Leave the country.
I give you my word. He won't be harmed in any way.
No. I've been around. I've seen solemn words and promises broken. In the light of...
What's that again?
Oh, yes. A higher necessity.
John, don't you see we're on to it?
On to what?
Whatever your game is. You want something. I don't know what it is. So you invent this science fiction horror story and this cooperative enemy agent. There's no such person.
There is an agent named Ivan Ivanovich.
All right, John. It happens. I've seen it happen. It's almost the way it is in the armed forces. A man gets combat fatigue.
There is nothing wrong with me.
Our life is filled with constant pressure. It's hazardous. When was the last time you had a vacation?
You placed me on this project.
It was a mistake.
And the project is a success. I have learned to communicate psychically with an agent from the other side.
John, you
of
keep...
vital importance. We have discovered that the entire human race is in grave danger of extinction.
How?
I don't know that yet. But it will become clear. It will. Now, don't treat me as if I were some kind of a nut.
Now, look, John, what happened to you happens to the best of us. A little rest.
Yeah, in other words, you're going to put me away, huh?
You need rest and treatment.
What if I refuse to go?
I'm sorry, John. But you simply don't have that option.
Remember me?
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Byrne. Mr. Brady asked me to come and talk to you.
Yeah.
I understand now why you didn't feel free to talk about your job.
What do you want, Doctor?
I want to help you.
Nobody's going to listen to me. They may listen to you. We're about to be removed from the Earth.
We
human
are...
beings...
By whom?
I'm not sure, but let us say by the elementary forces of the Earth itself.
Why?
Because we are alien. We are alien to the rest of all the living creatures in this world.
How?
All right, look. There's a life cycle, a chain. We were not part of it.
Yes, we are.
No. You see, we are on Earth. But we are no longer of it. We destroy other living things. They disappear. Whole species disappear.
The chain is broken and we destroy other things. We are alien. And so we are to be destroyed in our turn.
You believe this?
Yes. This happened before. There was the Ice Age, glaciers, great floods, upheavals. Why? The Earth had to rid itself of something foreign, something destructive. And now it's our turn.
And how do you know all this?
The Earth told me.
How?
I'm psychic. And so is Ivan. I could ask him to come here.
Why?
He'll back me up. If he comes, you won't give him away, will you?
No, I promise.
I'll send for him.
How?
I'm sending for him now. Right now, my mind can talk to his. Ivan Ivanovich Plotnik.
Is that his name?
He's answering me. He can come, Dr. Byrne. You promised me I could trust you.
You can.
Ivan, come to us. Come to us immediately.
Well, where is he?
He'll be here. It's a long trip.
From where?
He's been hiding out. Near the docks. Everybody's after him now. Our people want to arrest him. His own people.
Yeah, John, you must face certain facts.
Yeah, yeah. I see where this is going to lead.
I spoke with your wife. You have had disappointments in your life. You wanted to be a writer.
That was a long time ago.
You never forgot it. And that's why you're writing quite a story now.
I don't think we have anything more to talk about.
She told me about your little boy.
She had no right to tell you about
that. It wasn't your fault.
I was driving the car.
An accident can happen to anyone.
It happened to me.
All these things build inside, and one day a man explodes.
That has nothing to do with it. Look, our whole human race is in danger of being wiped out. Ivan will tell you the same thing.
Well, where is he?
He's here.
Where?
Don't you hear? Just outside the door. Wait. Ivan.
Hello, John.
Come in, finally. Tell the doctor what we discovered.
Who are you talking to?
What do you mean, who am I talking to? Ivan.
Where is he?
Well, he's here, right in front of you. Tell him you're standing right in front of him.
I'm standing in front of
yeah.
you, doctor.
Yeah, you see?
There's no one here but you and me.
Ivan, tell him about the aliens.
What we found out, John and I, is that we are the aliens. That we are to be expelled from the Earth.
There. What do you think of what he said, huh?
I didn't hear anyone say anything.
Stop that! Don't make me think I'm crazy. Don't try to make me believe Ivan doesn't exist.
No, on the contrary, John. Ivan does exist.
Then why do you pretend you don't see him?
Who do you think Ivan is,
he
John? He is you. You are John Carpenter, Jr. Ivan is John. Ivan Ivanovich means John, the son of John, which is John, Jr. Plotnik is their word for carpenter. John Carpenter, Jr. is Ivan Ivanovich Plotnik.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You created him.
No. He approached me. He was in trouble.
You would like to think that there's someone like you on the other side who is in trouble, too.
We have to cooperate. Both sides, all sides will be gone. Ivan.
Yes, John.
Help me.
John, there's no one here.
Help me, Ivan. We will make everyone listen to us. Help me get out of here.
Wait, John. You can't leave.
Help me. Ivan.
God. God, hurry!
John, please, darling. Try to cooperate with the doctors. They want to help you.
Yes, Louise.
We can still have a long and a happy life together.
Of course, Louise.
I'll Come again tomorrow.
Yes, dear. Goodbye.
Bye.
Maybe I should pretend to whatever it is they want. But I can't forgive them for killing Ivan when he tried to help me escape. They say Ivan isn't dead. But they try to humor people like me. I know he's dead. He doesn't come when I call him. And I no longer can communicate with the forces of the earth either. Doesn't matter. I know what happened. When Ivan died, I lost my psychic ability. But I know. I know that we are the aliens. And I know that sooner or later, each living human being will be removed from this earth.
And he sits there in the sanitarium, and he makes the dire prediction you have just heard. And of course, nobody believes him. But suppose, just suppose, it's true. Wilder things, weirder things have happened. In every prophet, isn't there a touch of madness? Therefore, the sanest thing you can do is wait for me to return in just a few moments.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and postnasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Some days I like to just stay home and read a good book, but one that I can really lose myself in. Well, The Physicians was that kind of book. It was about a young doctor who was almost ruined by a rich man's malpractice suit, and how he and his lawyer, a woman, untangle a web of legal and medical lies to prove his innocence. The ending was absolutely terrific. The Physicians was absolutely terrific. The Physicians is my kind of book.
The Physicians, your kind of book, now from Pocket Books.
Lives only flesh, blood, root, stem, leaf, trunk. We should go further and ask, what is life? Can't we say that one aspect of life is personality? Don't machines have personalities too? Don't they also at times seem contrary, out of sorts, and at others, don't they purr like satisfied kittens? The earth, the sea, the sky, don't they also seem to have their moods? As the philosopher says, there is only a single life force, and each thing in the world is a way of expressing it. Our cast included Paul Hecht, Mandel Kramer, Robert Dryden, and Marie Cheatham. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
But why the switch? Can you prove it?
We're going to try. We need your help. If you were going to sell the real pearl necklace, who would you take it to?
Well, no one here in White Plains, I don't think. New York City, probably, yes. The big buyers and sellers are in the jewelry center down there.
Uh-huh. Can you give me some names?
Oh, there are so many. Becker, Taubner, Wolling, Donitz Arnold. Wolling, he's very big.
Uh-huh.
He arranges many big deals and all legitimate.
Press, hit the road and see what you can find out about, okay, Arnold Wolling.
I'll go with you, Press.
No, you won't. You get back to your job. I'll report back to Mike if I have any luck. And I've got reports coming in already.
Reports? About what?
Payola, baby. The truth about your pearl necklace could rock the state.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Allstate Insurance Companies.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News. The situation in Lebanon remains confused, but there are strong indications that President Suleiman Frangieh will soon be out. I'm Eric Engberg reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Army officers who brought their troops to within a few miles of Frangieh's palace in Beirut issued the president an ultimatum: resign or be forced out. Since then, negotiations have reportedly been underway aimed at arranging a transfer of power, with Syria playing a major role in those talks. More CBS News in a moment.
You know, traditionally, credit has been a man's realm. But today, as more women become part of the workforce, they are realizing the need to establish their own credit identity. And this is Gene King of the Council of Better Business Bureaus with a few tips for women who wish to establish a credit rating. First of all, open a checking and or savings account in your own name, even if you already have a joint account with your husband. Apply for and use at least two credit cards. Open a charge account in your own name at a local store and establish a line of credit at your bank. According to the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, applicants for credit must be judged on their own merits. And if you feel you've been unjustly denied credit, talk to the credit agency or the lending institution, and you just go there and find out why. And if you're not satisfied with their explanation, contact the regional office of the Federal Trade Commission.
Another day of decision for the presidential hopefuls. This time the primary election is being held in Illinois, first of the Midwestern states to vote. Sharon Lovejoy has the story in Chicago.
Two last-minute national opinion polls show former Georgia Governor Jimmy Carter, the Democratic leader, going into the Illinois primary. Comfortably ahead of his rivals on the ballot, George Wallace, Sergeant Shriver, and Senator Fred Harris. The Gallup poll puts Carter ahead of President Ford as well, by 5 percentage points. Another poll shows Carter trailing the president by 8 points. But neither Carter nor the president seemed particularly worried about this primary. The president took some time out to talk by phone with members of his Illinois campaign staff, predicting another victory and thanking his supporters for their help. From his home in California, Ronald Reagan has admitted he's fallen behind in the polls lately, but still maintains he'll be happy with at least 40% of the primary vote. The real political story in Illinois is not the popularity contest, but the delegate count. Mayor Richard Daley is expected to control the majority of Illinois delegates at the convention, a block that is pledged to favorite son Senator Adlai Stevenson right now, but could be brokered should the Democratic convention reach a deadlock in July. Sharon Lovejoy, CBS News, Chicago.
President Ford has told a group of farmers visiting Washington that the Russians may soon be buying American grain again. He noted that the Russians have had a bad harvest, but gave no details on when any future sales may take place. The Associated Press says it has learned from administration sources that the president will impose quotas on imports of certain types of steel. The quotas are aimed at protecting American steel manufacturers and putting laid-off steel workers back to work. Steel and iron manufacturers are under new federal pressure to control their water polluting. Nelson Benton reports from Washington.
The government set strict limits on wastewater pollutants the iron and steel industry may discharge into rivers and streams. The deadline for the cleanup of effluent from steel plants is 1983. The Environmental Protection Agency estimates it will cost industry more than $1 billion to meet the requirements. EPA says that the iron and steel industries are major sources of water pollution in the United States. The EPA regulations set step-by-step timetables for some 400 plants to reduce water pollutants. The goal is to make rivers and streams involved clean enough to support aquatic life and allow fishing and swimming by mid-1983. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington.
Another phase of the Patricia Hearst trial is about to begin as the trial enters its final days. The government completed its rebuttal case on Monday, a prosecution psychiatrist testifying that Ms. Hearst was so angry at society even before her kidnapping that she was ripe for plucking as a willing member of the Symbionese Liberation Army.
More in a moment.
President Ford was a clear winner over Ronald Reagan in the Florida Republican primary, and Democrat Jimmy Carter pulled ahead of Governor George Wallace. But there's still quite a way to go to the conventions. I'm Richard C. Hottle at CBS News. The next stop in our primary coverage will be Illinois, where both Republican and Democratic hopefuls will be facing the important big city and industrial vote. Listen for CBS News coverage of the Illinois primary this Tuesday, March 16th, on the CBS Radio Network.
It's our nation's bicentennial, and later this year, we'll have a presidential election. You can designate a dollar of your federal income taxes to help pay the campaign expenses of all eligible candidates. On a joint return, either husband or wife may designate a dollar, or both may designate a total of $2. This doesn't affect how much tax you pay or the amount of your refund. Just check yes or no on line 8 of your tax return. This message brought to you on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service.
The Richard M. Nixon Freeway in California is no more, at least not legally. California highway officials say they'll start right away to put up signs designating it the Marina Freeway. The California legislature finished approving the name change yesterday. The former Nixon Freeway is 40 miles from Mr. Nixon's San Clemente estate. I'm Eric Engberg, CBS News.
6 minutes after 12 midnight on Tuesday, March 16th. Good morning, my name's Bill Garrity. This is the Moon Watch. I'll have local news for you at 12:30.